if someone keeps getting betrayed, it's because their operating system needs that. You can see that it's, you know, like vast swathes of humans are like screaming at each other and not realizing that the only way to change that is to see the wheels. So with Bitcoin, what that does is you are in the system and then you start going, oh shit, like this is a wheel, like it's happened before many times, and you start questioning the whole system and you go, I don't want to be in that system anymore. And so you step out of it and you create a new one.
Rob, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I know you are freshly back from holiday, and so appreciate you squeezing in the making the time to join as you're recovering from a whirlwind trip. So what I want to pursue today, Rob, and why I was so excited when I followed you on Nostr and discovered your work and started to dig in, read your book, bought it with Bitcoin, which is an added bonus, is in the lens or through the lens of Trust Revolution Trust, this project, my takeaway, maybe I'm mapping, but my takeaway from studying your work and reading your new book, Glitch, is this. We've been trusting the wrong things, not just banks or governments, but our own minds, our thoughts, instincts, you know, our gut feelings. And what I think you're telling us, Rob, is that we're running these glitchy programs installed in childhood, designed for a world in which most of us no longer find ourselves, a world that no longer exists specific to our lives and, you know, never step in the same stream twice. And so, you know, what I read and take is that these programs, as it were, don't just make us suffer, they make us trust the wrong people, the wrong systems at the wrong times. And I probably shouldn't say they make us, but they lead us to. And so with all of that, unless I've gotten that, you know, terribly wrong, my first question is really about repeated betrayal, maybe self-inflicted. And so someone repeats a pattern. They keep choosing romantic partners who abandon them, or they stay loyal to leaders who exploit them. They recognize it, but they can't stop. So what's the actual mechanism? Why doesn't awareness break that cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question. I like what you said, make, because they do. It does. It makes us. There's no, it's a deep play. It's an operating system that fires up when we wake up. And so it's like on my Mac, when the operating fires up, I'm not really aware of what's running in the background. It just gives me what I perceive as reality. And yeah, what I've come to understand is that, you know, your question was about betrayal. So what I've come to understand is that there are five very simple, deep operating systems that create our reality and make us how we are, unconsciously, counterintuitively, always giving us what we want when we don't seem to want that, if that makes sense. So with betrayal, if someone keeps getting betrayed, it's because their operating system needs that. So for example, if you're on the left side of, I don't want to jump in too much for someone who hasn't read the book yet, but the way the mind works is through very simple programs from childhood. So it's a child. So it's very binary. So let's say if you're on the left side of the hamster wheel, that's where you reside. What that would mean is that you support everyone in order to try and get your needs met. But your needs cannot be met from that centralized binary system that you've created. So let me describe the hamster wheel, which is the program. It's support, and the opposite word that I came up with from listening to many clients was let down, like you support a child or you let them down. So if you're on the left, you go up the hamster wheel, and you spend your time people-pleasing and supporting others, but you are never supported back and you feel let down. You, but I supported them. Why don't they support me back? For a left-sided, They want to be up here, but they're safe on the left in letdown as a disappointment.
So even though that is massively observably harmful and negative, it's where we feel comfortable, and therefore we return to that place.
100%. So these are defense systems created by a child who's scared. And so what I say is, like, what we're all trying to do within the system, and I say we all humans, because maybe there is someone that doesn't work with a mind, but it seems that the operating systems comes with the unit of a human, right?
Right.
And so when that left-sided person is up there supporting others, because they didn't get their needs met of love, connection, belonging in childhood, so they want the next best thing, which is being valuable to others. So valuable is like plastic love. It's an illusion. There's nothing, you know, you'll get a little high when people go, oh, wow, you're so kind, nice boy, you know, well done, or, oh, an Oscar, or you win a gold medal at the Olympics.
Dopamine. Is that good old dopamine? Yeah.
Immediately, I've worked with athletes who've said, you know, they got the gold medal, and instantly after they got it, they spun back to the other side. I'm jumping forward a little bit. But let's say, so that the left side, you can see that it's a hamster wheel, because you run up, and if you watch a hamster, they either flip themselves over, they go too fast, but they always flip over and the wheel balances. The wheel never continues. You never see someone who can keep the wheel balanced. It's an impossibility. So you put all your energy to the right because you're desperately trying to be valuable in others' eyes, but the program is glitchy and you don't deserve to be there. So you either get completely exhausted or you flip over. And so then you experience letdown. So I get clients who come see me and say, you know, my partner, I'm really kind. I'm trying to do everything with my kids or whatever, but then I feel let down by them, or I feel like I'm letting myself down. So that would be a left-sided position on that particular wheel. If you're on the right, you can support yourself. So you create, it's a binary. You're either left on the right. Okay. Don't trust me. Verify. You know, if you watch, you'll see that it's a protocol that is it runs on these five wheels. So if you're on the right, then you support yourself. You're confident, and you usually marry someone who supports you, and you love value. You love being valuable. And you know what valuable is. So you usually get the type of yang dominant right sided who are very wealthy, or elite athletes are on the right. And they hate being a letdown. Being a disappointment is unacceptable. They cannot deal with that. So that's why they don't do internal work, because you have to face that. So they're up on that right side, putting energy in at all costs. But it's inevitable, as the Buddhists would say, the more you try and reach the zenith, the more you get the nadir. And when a right-sided hits his point, he flips hard. And you just need to see it in... I was watching Alex Pereira, the UFC fighter, interview earlier. For some reason, it popped up. And he was saying he was traveling too much. He was fighting too much because he loves to do it to distract himself. All the right-sided people distract themselves, and they use substances to try and distract them from that wheel. And so he was saying that he burnt out and he broke his shin, which is how a right-sided person experiences the opposite side. It is forced upon them.
Right.
So they get flipped hard. So when I work with a right-sided person, it's when they hit the disappointment hard, and they have much more difficulty there because that is not safe. They are safe being supporting themselves, and when they can't, inevitably, as the unit, as I see it, like you create your reality. And if you watch that, don't trust me, if you look, you'll see that everything is coordinated with your perception and your hamster wheels.
It speaks to me deeply. I am definitely on the right side of that wheel.
Okay. And so when I'm working with a right sider, they and every, you know, it's not right and left like in America. It's
yes. Like yeah. We should underscore that. We're referring to the wheel. There will be links in the show notes to the fact that this is, in fact, a series of wheels that you refer to in your work.
Yeah, but you can see it in politics
in
and
book.
Twitter and everything.
Oh,
but,
certainly, yes.
What I notice is that people on the right, to experience micro, let's say they're so able, they will balance out their wheel by experiencing the opposite, unableness, by having a vice that they cannot control.
Mm.
So addictions are just trying to get out of the wheel. They call it chasing the dragon, heroin addicts.
Certainly.
Or alcohol. And they go there, they come back, and they experience what straight afterwards? Unableness.
Right.
So it's inevitable. It's a system, a closed system loop that is like a protocol and a VR. It's kind of like VR, and people are trying harder and harder, putting their energy in, but the game's rigged. It's glitchy, and so the Taoists knew thousands of years ago. Lao Tzu knew. He said, "You know, it's Wu Wei. The only way to do is through non-doing, observing your habitual operating system."
Fascinating, and I'm. Yeah, I could spend so much time here.
I love
it. It's and as I say, you know, right sider. Fortunately, not as a disclaimer. You know, I don't have the curse of addiction, but I can observe in myself that it is when either something I perceive to be a failure, I get sick, I get worn down.
Yep.
You know, I'm better than I used to be, but that's when I can recognize that those are the moments that I'm quietly grateful for, because they allow me to rest.
Yeah.
They give me an excuse not to achieve, perform, whatever that looks like. And then I'll ask another follow-up question here, I suppose philosophical, but important to me, is what's really striking about what you said, Rob, is as someone who spent a fair bit of time studying Eastern philosophy, thinking about non-duality, but recognizing that what you said feels very true, that it is binary. It's one or the other. We're on the right or the left. We flip. There is no balance in effect. Is that, you know, unless maybe somebody at the top of a mountain in Nepal, perhaps, but certainly not in my life. So most of us, we're operating in one of these two modes, not in between.
There's no opening yourself up to the other side is the way.
Mm.
And if you learn about the self. So meditation for me means understanding the self. So, you know, Krishnamurti's, you know, saying, it's understanding the self, which is like a black box. It's just this churning out the same old hamster wheel. You know, it's just running. And so, if you go in a monastery, and you don't have kids, you don't have a wife, you can't know yourself. Yeah, you can become extremely quiet, but there's no truth there. You are artificially quietening things so you know you have a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, try and be Zen, you know, when you have a kid jumping on your head, or
that is the greatest area of practice.
But it is. So you cannot know yourself in a monastery. But Buddhism is wonderful.
Yes.
You just have to listen to what Buddha said. My butchered take on it is, like, he sat on a tree and he went, "Oh, I've got it. It's just the mind." And it just watch it and don't, you know, there's anything in the nadir. And then he said, "That's all you have to do. Watch your mind, and don't follow me."
Mm.
And then but humans love to follow because they're desperately after certainty, hamster wheels, yes. certainty
yes.
programs.
Well, and that's a great seg to my next question, which is, so, and if not obvious, big fan of the book, and I do recommend, and we'll provide a link to that. It has, as I mentioned before we started recording, many things clicked for me, and, nice. And I'm sure we'll continue to. So you've mapped these, or in the book, rather, you map these five hamster wheels, and we've talked about a couple of them, these programs installed, as it were, in childhood, in response to whatever environment, be it traumatic or some other disconnected. Thank you. Connected or disconnected, as you say in the book. So to address disconnects in our lives as children, we develop or these programs, as you say, are installed. Could we zoom in a bit? How do these programs, this operating system, how does it determine who we see as trustworthy? How does that map onto who we choose to trust?
Well, there's no trust in them. If you think about it, the disconnect happens maybe, you know, even before birth. We don't need to go too much. I always say to clients, you know, like, if you want to, try and remember. But most people, especially if it's extremely traumatic, they don't remember anything about childhood. So if you imagine, let's say you're born into two parents who are disconnected. How many people are disconnected? Like, everyone? And so you experience disconnect and you blame yourself. I would say it's like a light switch. It's, you can't have it like half on, it dimmed.
Right.
It's
right.
on or off. And so people go, yeah, but my parents were not. No, like how many parents are constantly with their kids and fully connected and completely unconditional? It's extremely right. difficult, especially yes. in our modern world, right?
Yes.
And so you, it's a one or a zero. And everyone I've gone through says, yeah, it was a zero. There was a disconnect. So disconnect moves, you know, if there's a disconnect, it means you're not, that you experience that as an abandonment, no trust. That
right.
point there,
right.
the trust is gone. And then the next thing is, if you're abandoned, you don't throw things that are valuable. You don't abandon them. You don't throw things away. You don't throw your Bitcoin away, right? It's valuable. So you chuck things away that you don't value. So when a child logically experiences kind of thinks I'm abandoned or experiences a disconnect, abandonment, then they perceive that they're worthless. This is, it's possible that it happens in minutes. From when they experience disconnect. So there we have the worthlessness, that initial disconnect, like the gold standard.
Right, right.
Right. And so it becomes untrustworthy. And then you either, and I don't know why, but you either choose the right or the left to try and be valuable. Now, being valuable to others means you don't trust that you're enough.
Mm, certainly.
Okay.
Extrinsic versus intrinsic.
Exactly. And so you get, I mentioned it in the book, Sylvester Stallone in his documentary, which was excellent, very, very open. He said at the end, I realize after 80 years that I spent my whole life trying to be valuable to my audience, to get their love, to realize that it was an illusion.
Right.
And it there was no worth there, and that all the time it was my children and my family that were there that were the most valuable thing. But because of his hamster wheel, he was, you know, he is jammed up hard on the right. So he would have experienced deep left-sided experiences in his life. And so he didn't trust himself to be enough. So he became legend. You know, celebrity is that. The left, they don't trust themselves. And so they spend all their time trying to be nice to others and trying to be more able to be valuable to others. The system's built on a flaw there. Like that is the initial birth of the mind. It's untrustworthy, and that there's fractals to that. I mean, you can go in and look at your life and your parents and then your the family and society, which reflects back at us,
right,
that distrust.
Well, and perhaps the and that's really interesting to me, and it's an important point, I would think, to underscore that in those environments, in those settings of situations with these programs running on these wheels, these hamster wheels, we're simply not thinking consciously or making these decisions about trust. It is just we are driven,
yes,
by, I don't know if urges are the right word, but these compulsions to be valued, to seek out that which we desperately lack. And so maybe the better question is, what sorts of well-adjusted people are able to make sound decisions regarding trust? Their themselves, others, their community, you know, so that's an overly vague question, the inverse of what you've just discussed, what puts us in a position to make sound decisions about simply, you know, choosing to trust ourselves, our family, our guts, as it were, versus, I guess, being subject to the whims of media and messages and manipulation? What does good look like in that regard?
So first of all, within the system, you have people who become extremely valuable by making trustworthy decisions.
And define valuable in that context, please,
so,
Rob.
Let's say Jeff Bezos. Like, he seems to be good at what he does. He's made a company that's extremely valuable because everyone trusts it.
Yes.
Would that be fair? I mean, my parents
Certainly.
Don't like it because they don't pay tax in the UK. You know, like,
right,
they should,
right,
pay rich. You know, he's a billionaire.
But objectively, as measured by revenue, his personal net worth, et cetera.
That's correct. However,
right,
him to trust yourself, you have to understand yourself. And that can only come from, in my first book, I called it decentralized mind, but it comes from observing your habitual drives that are not intelligent. They are survival programs.
Right.
So when, if you look at Nostr, let's say, there's a lot of people posting, they're going down rabbit holes and getting angry.
Right.
You know, what they're looking for is the truth. Bitcoin is a desperate for the truth.
Yes.
Because they don't want to be unable.
Yes.
And they want to be safe. So all Bitcoin, everyone who's in Bitcoin is that they know how valuable it is, and they're either the right or the left. They know there's something extremely special about this. And so everyone's looking to be safe. So the left, you know, they trust in it. Because it's this thing on its own. It's a protocol, and it TikTok next block. You can trust it.
Right, right.
However, you know, you see with the knots and the core, you're getting extreme language because there's a lack of trust. But it's all of their own hamster wheels getting triggered, and they're feeling unable. Like, core is doing this, and there, and you can hear the fear behind the anger.
Right.
That's how I look at it. And so what I do is, when I see that, how can I know who to trust?
Mm.
How can we know? What we do is we observe our fear. That's the only thing I can trust is my mind. The only thing I can trust about my mind is that it moves and works, and I watch it and I get to know it. That is the only thing I can trust. And, you know, Bitcoin, like, I know that Bitcoin sort of does its thing. It's remarkable. But I can't know, you know, someone recently was saying chemtrails, you know, they're doing this with chemtrails and chemtrails. And I thought, when I think about that, I feel fear. Because it triggers my hamster wheel of being unable, it's wrong.
Yes.
They're damaging the environment, which will make me unable, my kids unable. So the only thing I know for certain about chemtrails is that it triggers my, and this is something individual that you have to go through.
Yes.
But if I want to change that out there, the only thing I can do is change my internal coding and move into that admin mode.
Right.
And so right. I could become, and I've spoken to so many people about this one thing, I could go out there and fight and force. But if you watch, you're in the mind and you're going to get the opposite. The more you force one side of the wheel, yang, you'll get the yin, the unableness. And so what I do is if I want to change the game, which is rigged and glitchy, well, I have to work on the code that is creating it.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I am struck by, in this moment, how despite reading 100 books, no exaggeration, you know, there is only the practice that matters, right? And so, 100%. You know, above the neck, below the neck, and hearing you say that reminds me and frankly causes me to reflect on the naivety of asking the question I asked in a way, right? Which is that how do we know what to trust and who to trust? And what you're telling us very critically is that everything, you know, as I think Buddhist thought tends to go to many, many wonderful metaphors, and one of them being the dirty mirror, you know, and the fact that we're seeing ourselves and we're seeing the world through a fogged or a dirty mirror and the way to clean
that. How can you trust that reflection?
Right. Right. And to only, you know, the only method to do that is to know the mind, to be present and to be aware.
Yeah.
And that is very profound. Let's dig in a bit more and I'd love to draw more of this out for those who perhaps are not so familiar with the material and with the subject matter. So, you know, I'm sure you have watched and you've referenced this and you do in your book and in your work and in your coaching, highly intelligent people, founders, executives, the technically sophisticated Bitcoiners, you know, as we'll use that as a bookmark for those who are generally quite technically sophisticated, make what I think are obvious mistakes. And it is they're staying in toxic relationships, romantic, business, otherwise, ignoring screaming red flags, sirens in their lives that we maybe it's, you know, we've got that buddy who we want to flog because he just won't, you know, wake up and sort of see what we see. They have all the information, but they still get it wrong. And so this is another take at what I know we've discussed, but perhaps again, to sort of further draw this out. What's happening in those situations? How does the programming override intelligence, intellect, and access to information?
Yeah, like if you look at the Fed.
Great example.
They're clever, right? They're much
5,000 PhDs, was it?
Yeah,
I think the latest stat I saw.
5,000
PhDs.
But we could say, yeah, but dealing with second and third orders and the complexity of, you know, of the economy. But what I'm talking about is, can that system be saved? Can you change anything within the fiat system? Well, you can pull some levers, but you're in a closed system and you have to create a new system. You can't change the system from within the system, Jeff Booth, right?
Right? And
others. And so when you use your intellect, you are in this, you're running hamster wheels. You're running your 4 year old. And all of them, like, here's one. And it's almost like I shouldn't say it. Like David Deutsch.
Deutsche Bank. No, forgive me. He's the branding guy.
David Deutsch, the philosopher, the
epistemological.
Like,
I missed that by a mile.
Like,
okay, got it.
Naval says he's the king. Like,
okay.
One of the most intelligent people. And so I'm like, I keep an eye on him. I'm like, oh, okay, what can I learn from him? And then I go on his Twitter and he's anyone who says anything about Israel. Okay. And I'm not, I don't want to get into that.
We don't need to disclaim. I think it's just objectively true that he
blocks
button.
Them and says you're completely brainwashed and you're in denial. Like,
what program is he running?
He is nicely on the right and doesn't like to be made unable.
And I'm going to keep underscoring, we do not mean right political spectrum. We mean the right side of this
particular
hamster wheel.
Here's another one, Nassim Taleb.
Mm, yes.
He creates Bitcoin. The book Anti-Fragile.
Yes, and becomes incredibly fragile.
It's inevitable.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go...
Well, and why is it inevitable, Rob? What you know, not to pick on these
individuals.
Because
he's running inside his mind. His ego, identity, the mind is what is... So he's fully in his intellectualized system, but he doesn't realize that the underlying... Like, I can do amazing things with my Mac, but if the operating system's glitchy, it's going to go wonky, right?
Right,
so,
right.
Nassim Taleb is like so far up on the right, and he's so the harder you put the energy in, you're going to flip and experience the opposite, which is people saying he's fragile and worthless. Mm. Would he accept it? No, that is denial. It's the inability to see your own unableness. So the harder you are on the right, the more you're going to experience the left.
Very powerful. And I think, again, I just keep reflecting on my own stuff, which I won't dump into this conversation, but it is just, I am experiencing the truth of what you're saying.
With Bitcoin, like when people say, oh my God, it just changes you. When you see something that's truthful, you shine light into darkness.
Yes.
And so, like I said, you know, with what I did was I was on a farm in Germany writing my first book. And there was something that happened where I just said, I have to watch my mind now. I remember it clearly. There was no one around. It was deadly quiet. It was uncomfortably silent and dark and cold in the winter. My family was like 20 kilometers away, and I was writing, and I was purely alone, and I just started watching. And I mean, that's when I took full responsibility. I said, I have to stop. I have to stop this habitual that I'd seen. I'm 53. I've seen it so many times. And so I started to watch, and through watching, and then, as I explain in the book, which I find that fascinating myself, is someone said to me, yeah, I've got this and then that. And I was writing on my board over here, and I was like, and then I drew the circle. And so through observing, I saw this like an open source behavior. And everyone said, oh my God, that's me. And it developed from there, but 100% just from my own watching of myself. And so when you see the truth, I wrote an email about it, like, there comes a point where you can't improve the iPhone anymore, like the shape. It looks like
diminishing returns.
Diminishing returns. And so it comes to a point where something's good, like, you can't make it much better. It's kind of like an airplane wing. You know,
what sorts of incremental changes have occurred to that over the last 50, 100 years?
Exactly,
right?
But everyone goes as an airplane wing, and so when you start to watch and you see the wheels, and you start to go, oh my God, it's as clear as day. But it takes responsibility.
And I would add, certainly my own life, as you know, many, many, many wise people have said, is that without awareness, we fall back into it moment by moment by moment by moment. And that is the challenge, I think.
You're either present, and you can't force presence. I did that. I read Power of Now, and I forced myself for 2 years. I was like, looking around, but I
just
got
through sheer will,
100%, and I was completely numb. It helped me at that time, but now I realize you're either in the mind or not, centralized or decentralized, and most people are fully centralized and they think they're safe, but the book is really showing that there's a rigged game, and they're a hamster, and they're not going anywhere. That's why. I think it may have even been Max DeMarco who I was talking to, and with the hamster, he goes, it looks like a hamster. And then I drew a hamster and I put a tail. And it might have been him that said, no, it looks like a poo. And then we had a laugh. So I started drawing humans in the hamster wheel.
Yeah.
But that is, the mind is a prison and it's suffering. So for me, I've read a lot of things that go into too complex. And I had to see the simplicity of it. It is, of course, there's complexity in the simplicity. But
simple, but not easy.
Exactly. And, you know, listening to Krishnamurti, who fundamentally is saying the same thing, you need to observe yourself.
I should know this, but he also said, be here now.
He said the highest form of intelligence is being able to observe your behavior without comment. Is one of his classic, is to be able to observe your behavior and not go, oh, that's good or that bad. It's just
it's just to see. Well, and what's so profound about this, and again, why I was and am so delighted to have this conversation, is, as is my tendency, and as frankly a lot of this show is focused on, let's speaking of operating systems, you know, let's switch to Linux, let's switch to Graphene OS, use Bitcoin, let's use privacy preserving technologies. But underneath it all is the individual and the mind. And so make all of the changes you want at these higher levels, you know, in terms of making change, it matters effectively little. And I think that's what I would love for people to take away from this. And so where I'd love to go now, Rob, is having established that we individually are all, as you said, prisoners of our own minds. And I think that is not a black pill. That is a phenomenally powerful awareness that we can bring. So how do millions of people, billions of people rather, running the same program since childhood lead to these systemic breakdowns we're seeing and appear to be accelerating? So what's the connection between these individual personal patterns and societal dysfunction?
The disconnect and subsequent manipulation. Our operating systems manipulate to be valuable. So people pleasers manipulate. When I tell people pleasers, you're trying to manipulate to be valuable. So you make people happy is manipulation.
Yes, which is a painful realization. I've been there.
Yeah. And also being successful is you're trying to make people think you're hoping that it will make people love you. Mm. That manipulation and disconnect is inevitably reflected in our society. So, you know, if I go really, sometimes I wonder, you know, this is my game. I found Bitcoin when I started to find myself. And is it possible, you know, that there's a connection there for me? I talk about in the book about, I do a chapter, 9 3/4, where I talk about Bitcoin. Mm. I try and walk people through as logically as I can because I got some pushback from early readers. I spiritual people. And I'm like, I need to make it more understandable. And I said, there's fractals to trauma. So there's my own, and then there's the family that are repeating. Everyone's triggering each other's hamster wheels and reinforcing the conditioning. And then that, the community and society. And then, so there are these huge wheels. And you can see that it's, you know, like vast swathes of humans are like screaming at each other and not realizing that the only way to change that is to see the wheels. And so with Bitcoin, what that does is you are in the system, and then someone says, you start reading, the Bitcoin standard or like I did. And then you start going, oh shit, like this is a wheel. Like it's happened before many times, and you start questioning the whole system, and you go, I don't want to be in that system anymore. And so you step out of it and you create a new one. And the fractal is that there's the ultimate wheels are creating and you're experiencing life through those. So on an individual level, if I want to change anything, I have immediately look at myself. That's the only, and so if we all did this internal work and freed ourselves from our own deep conditioning, then that is the only way to change society.
I hear you say that we ultimately have to bring it back. I mean, and
there's no other way.
And the question I asked, I had some sense, but I was still genuinely deeply interested to know if there's this latticing that we can sort of look at. But what I think I hear you say is there are, as you put it, these fractal, these gears are turning in ways that build up to more, you know, from simple machines to complex machines in effect. And that may or may not be productive, but what we can know, what we do know, is that in order to fix it, in order to change, it has to start at the individual level. And I think what's so powerful about what you wrote about Bitcoin is I think if I got it right, you called it collective consciousness technology. That removes vulnerabilities in our programming. And so I'd love to have you walk us through that.
Yeah. Just coming, some people might be going, yeah, but how, like, this is system screwed and there's anger and fear. And if you watch Jeff Booth, when he talks about the system, he understands it. There's no need for emotions. He doesn't go, ah.
He's remarkably calm and collected. Yes.
Right. Because he understands the truth. When you understand the truth, you know, when my daughter's overtired, if she just starts screaming and I don't know, like someone might walk past and go, oh, she's so badly, you know, her trauma gets triggered. That's wrong. Mm. But I know my daughter's tired.
Right.
And so I hold her. I understand. So that's why. When we start taking responsibility for what's out there, there's no separation. Like, that needs to be seen. We're not separate.
Yes.
We're all, everything is a field or whatever.
It's all interconnected. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
And so when you start looking at when you go on Twitter and you see someone say something and you go, what? How can they?
Right. Then that's the rage swells.
Yeah. If I post or even think the frequency is conflict with reality. So I go, okay, there's something not truthful about how I'm thinking. I go within, I dissolve the wheel. I look for which one it is, dissolve it. And then that is no longer, I'm not drawn to it anymore. And that changes that. And if everyone did it, it would change everything. Bitcoin
Absolutely.
Is helping us do that.
And I can imagine, and I'll be eager to get feedback, to get comments on hippy dippy, right? Is this hippy dippy? And as I said before we started, I mean, it has been deeply profound. Eastern philosophy has been immeasurably meaningful to me in understanding myself and working through my own junk. And so I experience and feel the truth of what you're saying. It is tempting. And I think, you know, we'll keep referencing Jeff because he does such an exceptional job of saying, don't invest energy into systems that, you know.
You said Eastern philosophy. I would say it's not philosophy. Mm. It's truth.
Better
and
said.
So when they see the protocol. And they talk about it in different languages.
The laboratory of the mind and
they see it. Then I've always done it. I've always, what is first principles with, you know, this, you know, when I was working in elite sport, I'm always trying to go, okay, what gets results? And truth gets, like, when you find the truth, it.
Capital T truth.
Yeah. And so when you see, you know, Eastern philosophies, you're drawn to the truth there. And there's people create stuff on top that is normally ego.
Ornamental.
But what is the, it's there's this mind centralized. There's no, it's not intelligent. David Bohm, who criticized Krishnamurti's work as being too complex, and I found it that way. So for me, the hamster wheels is a framework to help you see this, the mirage and the sleight of hand of the mind. And David Bohm said, yes, the mind is just like a computer system, computer programs and their scripts. They're not intelligent. They're just, if you
mechanistic.
Watch, yeah, they just, and people react to them. So it comes down to something so simple as when a Bitcoiner watches that centralized system, you know, there's the like the flames are coming up
and, yes.
and they're drinking the coffee, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
The same goes for when you start to realize that the mind is the, and you just go, and you watch it. It's, you know, the guy on the roller coaster.
Right.
And you're completely free. It
yes.
doesn't mean you don't have a cold wallet and you don't leave your kids, you know, walking along. You know, I leave them as much as I can, but I don't take
you're
them
you're not
to,
excused from inaction or bad choices.
But it's the effortlessness, the way is found. This is why I want to explain. Like, when you do step out of that system, everything becomes effortless. And Lao Tzu said it, Buddha said it. It's a non-doing. When everything balances, the energy is there. You find the right way. It just comes to you. So there's not like, you don't sit there and do nothing. You
right,
just, when
right.
you watch your hamster wheels and they start to dissolve, then your intelligence comes through. That's intelligence. This, you know, Nassim Taleb, he can't even see how ridiculous he was because the mind is a closed loop and it's not intelligent.
Deeply profound. And again, I feel myself sort of integrating and reintegrating what you said.
Yeah,
and
because we're using our minds, aren't we?
Yes,
we do use our mind.
Yes.
And so we're just, you know, when you asked me that, one of your questions, sorry, and I maybe
no, this is a great conversation.
Just went off and then I'm like,
well, we trust what is true, you know, and again, I don't want to sort of force the topic here, but what I take away is as you said, and I appreciate the clarification that, and I do confess, I perhaps will say Eastern philosophy to soften it for some, I shouldn't, okay. You know, I do see it as objective truth and I appreciate that clarification. And therefore, I mean, I would say that, you know, what I again take from this particular part of the conversation is we know what is true if we are quiet and we listen and we observe
100%.
And we know in our guts, for lack of a better way to put it, what to trust, who to trust. But only if we can quiet the mind. And as you said, I love this idea of dissolving the wheels. Right.
You can't.
Right.
You could. Conor McGregor, I don't know why I use MMA people so much, but they're exaggeration.
They're right.
Conor McGregor's, like, people were putting him like a seer. Like, he was like, whatever I imagine in my mind, I create. And he had that fight with Aldo. And before the fight, he knew the exact move that was going to knock him out. And he knocked him out in 4 seconds. It was incredible. And then I'm like, okay, but he can use that energy of the right side, but it comes with
at what cost.
And then you see that he experiences huge swings to the other side, so you can use your mind, but you have to be very aware. Is it habitual hamster wheels, or are you looking at this very without emotions, calmly?
Well, and again, I think I'm sort of reeling here, thinking about so much of what I've read and studied, the almost canonical, the primary texts within Buddhism, the canon. So many references to an action one can take when the mind is clouded can be a completely different outcome as the same action when the mind is clear.
100%.
And I take you to say that, and I think that's so powerful. Well, so with that, I just keep, I'm going to have to edit out my pondering.
Sean, you can only know that. But shifts are happening, right? But you can only know that what they said is true by experiencing it in yourself.
Yes, yes.
So you can read the Buddhist scripture for...
You have to sit on the cushion. Yeah,
but you have just
to wash the dishes.
Yeah, or go watch yourself when you get triggered by your daughter or my daughter. You know,
absolutely.
That is where I I'm observing and I see the programs. They are just programs. And so
yes.
I'm simple, and I'm just constantly looking what is the simple, it's just a program, it's a script, a habit. I need to observe that. What's it doing? I do that and I get pleasure and then I get that and I get the disappointment and I look at it enough times, I know it, and then I don't need anyone. We are our own sovereign individuals, really.
Yes.
So Bitcoin has got to understand, this isn't about me or my book. It's about, we're talking about, if you look, it is the same for everyone and it's the key. You have to see the bars. The bars are the programs.
Absolutely.
And when you observe them enough, they dissolve and then you're free. And you can only walk that yourself. And I'm sure there are many wise books that say the same thing.
10,000 gates.
Yeah.
As the Tibetans would say to awareness or to nirvana. But, and I think what's so powerful about that is, well, maybe the question I have floating in my mind right now, to what degree does Bitcoin, to stay on that topic, does it become a path, a gateway into becoming aware of the things we've discussed? Or is it with a certain level of awareness that one can, you know, I don't want to sort of hold Bitcoin up as nirvana, but right. So which comes first? Is it a certain level of clarity, I'll just use that word, that allows us to recognize the truth of Bitcoin? Or is Bitcoin the thing that changes us? In your view?
Yeah, I think for me, it's been the finger.
Pointing to the moon.
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, I like using it. And in using lightning, I go, wow, I can't do that in this system. So it's kind of, I then go, okay, I'm going to use that, the path of least resistance. You know, I know a lot of very much more clever, you know, Bitcoiners, coders that see in, you know, whenever I talk with Knut, like my brain's going.
Yes, who I know well and tremendous mind.
Awesome. So funny.
Yes.
He's funny because he has he's got that logicalness and he's
quite
funny,
blunt, which I respect.
Yeah. And he can hold lots of thoughts and come up with funny things.
And also a damn fine guitar player. I've jammed with him a couple times.
Yeah, amazing, right?
Yeah.
So for me, all I can say is when I think about losing my Bitcoin, I get fearful.
Absolutely.
I go in. When I see the price go up and I feel safer, I look, what does that mean?
Right.
Because ironically, the more Bitcoin goes up, it is possible the less safe Bitcoin is getting.
Yes, yes.
So out there is, and Bitcoin is, you know, the world is nirvana. This is heaven. It's incredible.
The Citadel theory.
Yeah. When I see something that bothers me, when I get bothered, I just go within. So Bitcoin for me is a part of my reality, and it helps me to see my own issues. I'm so glad I bought when I did, and it's opened up, and it's changed me by showing me with the finger analogy, the system, and it's incredible how that system is hooking everyone's hamster wheels and spinning them harder. And social media, as part of that, is if you want to sell, hook people's hamster wheels.
Yes.
Okay. That's
yeah.
The psychology is, you know, all those self-help books are hooking the lefties to be more successful.
Yes.
And the righties to stay up there. So Justin yes. reinforces that system. Yeah. So I understand that Bitcoin is creating a new system. So for me, it's just like that. I don't go too much into it. I love Jeff Booth's stuff and Preston Pearce and these people mm-hmm. who can understand the economy and how
the macro. It. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that fascinating, but I just come back and I go, the only thing that's invaluable to me is to see my programs that disconnect me from my children, from humanity. And that's where I prioritize. And
our locus of control is right here.
Yeah. And the yeah. only thing is truthful when it comes. The only thing I can know is true is that I'm fearful.
Wow.
Or yeah. I'm angry. Or
the truth of suffering. And the end to suffering.
Yeah. And you know that. So I can't know how you're thinking, feeling, but I can know that if I start to think, am I disappointing in this talk? Am I speaking too much? Mm. Or am I letting myself down? I know that that's my program. And I pick up little Rob, say, hey, it's okay. And then I'm back with you.
And what a tremendous and I think courageous thing for each of us to do, right, is rather than as I am very guilty of thinking I can intellectualize, I can think my way out of most anything, or that we should be tougher. You know, we should soldier through discipline. Stiff upper lip, all this discipline. And here again, you know, as I've said so many times during this conversation, what I feel and know to be true is that it is only in those moments when I'm incredibly humble and recognize the limits of my intellect, my mind, that I am at my best in those moments. It may not last for more than a moment, but in those moments are glorious.
Yeah.
If but I could just string enough of them together. It's
yeah,
a good
yeah.
day.
The hamster wheel is exhausting.
Yes.
And so what you said to me is when I can realize that I'm unable, then I can be me.
Right.
And then you are at your best.
Yeah. Multiply that by a few million to a few billion and we're in a good spot. Well, on that note, what I'd love to do to do now, Rob, is to sort of end on a bit of practical advice, if we can ask you for that.
For sure.
So we have talked about the world as it is. We've talked about Bitcoin as a tremendous mechanism to change ourselves and thus society and the world. But as we, as individuals, sort of continue to operate with this compromised judgment that our childhood programming drives within us, we're sort of stuck, most of us. And so you point to practices like admin mode, mineral restoration, stepping outside the system designed to trigger us, which we've talked a bit about.
Yeah.
What does the path forward actually look like for individuals trying to cultivate reliable judgment? And as, if I may say, you and your family are doing in Madeira, to do work, to build systems that lift us up. So sort of at the individual level, what do you recommend? And what do you think, what are you hopeful about perhaps in a community like Madeira or, you know, as more people sort of wake up to what's wrong and what's possible.
Might not remember all of that.
Yeah, that was a big one. So let's start with things like admin mode and mineral restoration.
So
let's
right now, there's going to be two types of reaction to what we're talking about. If you're on the left, you're going to feel hopeful.
Left side of the wheel. I'll keep
left
it.
Right. You're going to feel excited. Like, watch that. That is the mind. So start to watch. Oh, I'm going to, you know, maybe I can get better. I can feel more able. Okay. If you're on the right, you might be going, oh, this is bullshit, you know, or he doesn't know about this or that, and might feel a little uncomfortable with what we're talking about. It's possible. I mean, a right-sider might be like, wow, this is awesome. I'm going to blow through the glass ceiling. I'm going to be unstoppable.
Just
that is the when you can start to become aware of your own reaction to information, that is a program and it's not you. Like, that's where rubber hits the road. This is the difficult part.
Stay
your
humble.
Reaction, yeah, your thoughts and your reactions need to be observed. And when you start to observe them, you might go, what? That's how I am. So right people will feel unable and they might go, I'm not doing this, which would be, you're going to do it at some point.
At some point.
It's how much suffering do you need? There's no way out of the system. Just like with Bitcoin, people get it at the price they deserve.
You read my mind.
There
you will
go.
Step out of the system at the price that it costs.
Yeah. And so you might have to wait until you have cancer. And people might go, you can't say that. I work with people.
You've observed it. Right? You write about it.
Yeah. And so an unableness experience will come. And so I don't want to, I'm just telling you the truth. That's.
Yeah.
So
jump, don't be pushed is what
I
take from
with
that.
With the book, what I try to do is just explain that, like, when you look at it, there are these five simple programs where it comes down to, it's like the root of your thought. So you might be going, Israel, they're so hateful. And because that's taken me away from my present moment.
Yes.
Which hamster wheel in me was triggered by that thing out there? And then I go, well, it's wrong. It's wrong what they're doing. And then you feel anger. And so you start to see the whole program running. And then you say, okay, it's okay. Because that does nothing, getting angry. We mm-hmm. know that in a fight, it's the angry fighter who loses. It's the
right.
It's no emotions is where you hit flow state. So it's not useful to be emotional. It doesn't mean you suppress your emotions. You just say, why am I emotional? And look for the corresponding hamster wheel. It's just a framework, but it's there to be seen. Once you see that, what you do is you start to dissolve the habit. Okay? So it's as simple as that. These are just habit thoughts. You've got to see that they're habits and they're four-year-old level programs.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
How do we?
How do we best get to admin mode?
Yes.
You know what is in the body, or what do we perhaps need to do to better
whenever
enable
we're
all
triggered?
Things? Yeah.
Or we feel we can't. So the right siders will go. They can't do nothing. That is going to be when a righty starts to go. Yeah, but I'm bored. I can't not do anything. That needs to, what's happening.
Be aware of that.
Yeah. And the left is like, I should be doing more, should be doing better. I didn't do that enough. So you're either on the right, up at the top, like grinding, compulsive doing, or you're on the left and you're not doing. You're making excuses or you're self-sabotaging. And you're hoping, you go, I wish I was there. You just have to see that. That's, and however, if you're listening, you do it how you do it. Just do it. Like, the only way you can do it is yourself.
Right.
I've got this weird long-term thing of looking for patterns. Like I can't, like it's a trauma-based thing, but it helped me to see danger in advance.
Yes.
And
yes.
So I can see patterns. And so I did that for myself and I was like, oh my God, this is completely changing my reality. And then I did it for clients and they're like, oh my God, this is completely changing my reality. So it's that with the, so there are the hamster wheels with the remineralization. What we need to understand is that our perception, our programs, our hamster wheels, our body responds. So if you're on the right side, you're usually going to have high testosterone because you support yourself and you think you're a winner.
Right.
When you flip, you're going to get massive depression. Okay, in your testosterone
depleted.
Drop, unableness. So a team that wins at football, the team that wins, they have a spike in testosterone. The team that loses, it decreases. So we have the lowest levels of testosterone ever recorded throughout the world, I think we can clearly say. Why? Well, look at our system. Everyone feels completely unable, right? And unless maybe you're a Bitcoiner, right? So what happens is testosterone is built, the hormones, the precursors, the hormones are the minerals. So we're batteries. And again, you don't, I'm not a biochemist or a biologist or anything. What I do know is that we're batteries and we need minerals. And so I talk about in the book that one of the key minerals is copper, a metal, and it is so reduced in our diet. And it is the, in the Chinese medicine, it is the, a general to iron, which is the most pro-oxidant aging element in the world. And they add it to our food supply because the fiat medical system saw that when you have iron dysregulation, which means you have low iron in the blood, they didn't realize that it was being shunted into the tissues as a way to get, I don't know if I use this in the book, but if you imagine there's a bunch of, I've got to be careful here, not use a race, like a bunch of bikers come to a bar and the bouncers go, shit, quick, hide the alcohol.
Right, right.
Yeah, you can, because yeah, the bouncer's hepcidin. And so it when you have stress or viruses, stress. The hepcidin starts to shunt iron into the tissues because iron to viruses is like crack cocaine, like bikers
to
alcohol.
So clear it out of the bar.
Then the blood level drops. So the medical science said, oh, you have low iron. You should shovel in iron.
Wow. Of course. I mean, yes, I'm sure I could find 100 doctors in my city that would tell me that.
Yeah. And it's, they add it to the food supply, raw iron filings, right? So again, it's that fear, you know, you could say fear clown word, which
yes,
is.
Yes, it is. It is. Let's call it what it is.
I understand that they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Yet the outcome.
I actually think that that might be killing millions, that one decision. But, you know, fiat mind, the mind, cannot see first, you know, second.
Right. Order effects and.
Third order effects. So, you know, I talk about Morty Robbins in the book. I like him because he's a researcher and looks old. Very old, before pharmaceutical took over research. And it shows, I think they say that if you want to give rats or mice heart disease, make them copper deficient. Like that's how they do it. So in the book, I just say like, you just eat organic, you know, as much as you can, organic whole food. However, the soil is so damaged, right? Which is,
yes, particularly in the U.S., among other places.
System. Yeah, yes. So sometimes you're going to need supplement because the battery gets, Morley calls it magnesium burn rate, which is a critical mineral, is magnesium. So yes, when we're stressed, hamster wheel, it burns through magnesium. And so
that I personally am on a pretty high dosage of magnesium and vitamin C, a particular C, I forget which, I did the research.
Not ascorbic.
Thank you. Right. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Non-ascorbic.
Whole vitamin C.
Yes. And so I have just observed, you know, in myself, my mood, my energy level.
Which is decentralized medicine, so to speak. You see what works by observing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and so I think, and again, I would encourage people to read the book and to study your material. But I think the TLDR is, as you say, our bodies are batteries for the mind. The mind is where all of what we experience, you know, initiates or is passed through. And in order to change anything, any large system, it begins with us. Is there anything else that you would draw out, Rob, as calls to action you know, what do you think are the things that are most pressing for people watching to do to, you know, again, I'll bring it back to sort of reclaim agency, to trust themselves so that they yeah. are not so subjected to trusting. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, if you trust yourself, you take responsibility for things. Like, if you don't trust yourself, then you rely on others. And it doesn't mean you're stupid to, there's, you know, I have a special forces friend and I go, I'm not going to speak to him. I'll do my own security.
Like, we do outsource some things in life, rightly
yeah,
so.
Yeah, of course, which is logical. But if I don't go to him, that's my hamster wheel. Right. Like, I think I can do it better.
Right.
Or if I over-rely on someone. The coming back to the mineral thing, hereditary, you know, everyone is, if you look at hereditary, well, mm-hmm. you're not, it's, yeah, the genes are the same, but it's the hamster wheels that pass down through the generations. So the hamster wheels create the mineral deficiencies that create schizophrenia. You know, and addictions are the programs passed down. It's encoded, and you know, I think it's encoded even before we're born. But I can't know that.
I, you know, I have a parent who, as I'm shared with you, suffered from addiction and ultimately ended my father's life. I'll go so yeah. far as to say openly. And so that is particularly powerful for me, not to make it about me, but again, a truth that I have experienced. My brother and I both, it gets a little emotional, fought hard and continue to fight hard to not let those things take hold.
Please. I'm going,
yeah, take, in. I gave it to you, run with it.
But it's important, this, everything that you don't want to be like him is within you.
Yes.
So yes. everything you're yes. fearful of becoming is you're energizing it by trying to do the opposite.
And I wrote about it just the other day about being okay. a father and being fearful of being a bad father.
Yes. Oh, I did a video once, like, it's not very good, like how not to become your parents. It blew up. So I would say that's absolutely so valuable. That's gold. It's like, oh, okay, I'm playing that level of the game.
Right.
And so you'll see, when you see your hamster wheels, you'll see his hamster wheels.
Yes.
And then you'll—
Which are some of the most painful realizations I've had in life, personally.
I bet. Yeah, mine too. Yeah. And then through knowing, you don't forgive. It's through knowing that you obviously forgive. So some people say, oh, you should forgive him. No, know the truth, and there's no forgiving.
Wow. Know the truth, and there's no forgiving. That is incredibly powerful.
Yeah, you just need, if you know, what it's instant. If you know why and what he went through and why he did what he did, there's nothing to forgive. It's just his programs that are in you and that are in me. I don't want to be a bad father. And I
right.
wrote about it also the other day where I shouted. I immediately went into admin mode. And then afterwards, I'm so sorry. I have no right to, through verbal force or coercion or force, make you do anything.
Right.
She is my daughter, but that gives me no right to, unless there's a car coming and I pull her out of the way.
Of course.
Yeah. And so we're dealing with parents who didn't know that.
Yes. Yes. Well, and I think, you know, as we wrap up, and I'm very grateful, Rob, it's been meaningful and profound, and I mean that sincerely. And I just, I will have a great deal to think about for the next days and weeks. I'll reiterate to those who maybe expected more, you know, Bitcoin talk or more discussion of VPNs or whatever it is, that the reason I wanted to and have been delighted to have this conversation is because it feels, those are important things. And I think it goes back to what you said, being aware and mindful and at peace does not mean we don't take action. So do take action. The episode I published this week was very specifically about taking action with regard to systems and technologies and choices that we make. And because technology is how we express so much of our lives or intermediate so much of our lives, that those things are important. But underneath it all is this, is what we have discussed. And so, you know, my message, I suppose, is do not, I hope for us all, do not give way to thinking that the other software that we might talk about fixes things. It's this software that is most crucial.
Bitcoiners want to be free, and you cannot be free if you run your mind software. You cannot. It's not trustworthy. It's not intelligent. David Bohm, Einstein's student, said it, and his theory is still possibly a really good one for the universe. So he's a clever guy. He says, yeah, they're just scripts. They're not intelligent, but we all listen to them. And also, I also say, I'm looking at graphene.
Graphene. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you don't suddenly become vulnerable and like, oh, I'm a spiritual person. Spirituality to me just means taking responsibility. There's no like, if I do ayahuasca and have a big hat and a crystal, then I'm somehow protected. This is all the mind.
Practice is everything.
Yeah. My kids we're very careful with social media. There's no social media. We might get rid of Netflix, not as a knee-jerk reaction to
what recently happened.
When our kids watch it to not watching it, it's like two different kids.
Incredible. And I know your children are a bit older. The panel that I was on at Imagine If here in Nashville with Matt O'Dell and Derek Ross, we talked about this, and what I shared then, I will reiterate, is that in, again, our own lives with our young son, initially there was an hour to two of screen time per morning, highly curated, so that my wife had time to do the things that she needed to do. We homeschool. She's home, which is wonderful. However, we observed behavior that was discomforting, disquieting, and we ended it. And it is one of the most poignant firsthand experiences I have had in what screens will do to a young mind. So that's a bit of a digression, but I think, you know, it is so powerful.
Yeah. It's like sugar. It's like,
yes,
it is. So, I think we were saying that, if you want to be free and you want your kids to be free and you want to like, my wife has created a place to be for children, a place to be themselves and not be coerced and controlled and propagandized, you know, in a school.
Tell us a bit more about that, please.
So we moved around as nomads for quite a while. And then what we found was that Sylvia would go up to parents in the playground and say, does your kid go to school? Because she's looking for kids to play with ours. And when we finally decided to come to Madeira and we met Andre and, you know, we love it here, we started to build a community. And then Sylvia said, wow, wouldn't it be cool if we created a place for kids just to be and left alone, and very much sort of inspired by Summerhill School, A.S. Neill's school that was created in the 1940s, which there was no compulsion to study anything. And they created amazing kids, hyper intelligent. And so we, you know, bit by bit, she pushed that forward. I was writing, and I find it's not easy to work with your partner. Like, so I said, I'm not helping you with this. I'll help you. And a guy, you know, we talk all the time about it. And obviously I work to enable her to be able to do this. And so we started looking at land. It got bigger and bigger. And then we were at Bitcoin Atlantis, and we were moving forward with some founding members who are amazing, who saw the the importance and how valuable this thing could be as a beacon for yes. other kids. Yeah. And we were there, and Raheem from Scholarium, and he created Citadel Gardens, and they saw our project, and they were like, oh my God, we want to invest. And so what's happened is we become a part of Citadel Gardens, which is decentralized living community, and Madeira is Sylvia likes to say to fear-proof your kids.
Or, I love it. I saw the piece that she published on Nostr, and as I reposted it, I said, "This is how you write a hook." That first sentence got me, and yeah. I just devoured the whole thing.
You know, the funny story was I spoke with Jeff Booth about how to sell this that we were doing. It was a place to be, and the B, obviously, Sylvia was like, kept meeting people, and I said, just go for Bitcoiners, and she was like, no. And then after a few months, she knew Bitcoiners and
synonymous,
alternative coins. She could tell the difference in the way they were. Absolutely. And so she went B, the yes. The Bitcoin B, place yeah. to be. And I spoke with Jeff Booth, and we were on a call, and very nice of him, very valuable. And he said, Rob, intelligent people will understand if you explain what the problem is and then just say a place to be.
Yep. It's outcome-based, it's problem-based.
And the response for this is, Sylvia doesn't love need it. To sell anything.
Love it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Love so it. We have...
Can't wait to visit.
500,000 meter square piece of stunning land with the view that is one of the most incredible views I'd say in the world. And we're going to have horses and animals. We'll have at least 25 houses. We will have spa, gym, tree houses. I don't want to forget anything, but, woodwork.
Me about halfway through.
Yeah. Yeah, we have an AI robotics lab that Mohammed, who was head of Texas University Robotics Lab, he's going to be doing that 6 months of the year. And again, it's not, come in, kids, come and study this. It will be...
Immerse yourself. Pursue your passion.
It will be do what you want. And you'll find that kids who like that, you don't need to force them.
Absolutely. Seen that with our son. Fantastic. Well, Rob, I mean, I could just keep going, and
I've really enjoyed this.
I'll hope to do part two. If
you give me a shout when you're over, we'll go for a nice meal.
Absolutely. Without doubt.
I'll show you the land, give you a tour in the Jeep.
That may be dangerous because we'll end up moving. But I mean, it has rocketed to the top of our list of places that we really want to see. Thank you so much, Rob. I appreciate it. I'm grateful. I think everyone watching will be. It has been, as I mentioned, it's a cliche word, but it has been an unlock for me, and I think it will for viewers. And I'll be sure, as I noted, to get the relevant links out to a lot of great resources, particularly your books, your website, and ways people can get in touch with you if they want to go deeper.
Thank you so much. Real pleasure.
Thank you, Rob. Talk soon.
You too.